tonight will be a little different in the, both in the structure of the meeting as well as in the content. In the structure, we will have a much shorter fellowship, which I plan to limit my speaking to 40 minutes, so that might take us to 8:05. And then there'll be plenty of time for mutual fellowship, and that will be in small groups. I don't know how many you do, but anyway, we'll be directed how to do that later. And I find, I feel that that second part is vitally important to the whole weekend, to have a time where everyone has a chance to say something, if you so like, to express what has the Lord spoken to you. It's interesting. Everyone hears one word, but then how that's processed in each of us depends on you and the Lord and where you are in your journey with the Lord and your heart condition at the time and your experiences. And it becomes like a diamond with many facets. It's the same word, and then but it expresses so many different things through the different members of the body. So that time is vitally important, and that's why I will definitely limit my time, because I don't want to cheat us from that. As far as the content, it's not that this session continues the prior session. This is standalone, and it's not that we're going to continue in the outline now, although I will read something from the outline. But I'd like to let you know that our burden in this session is more for, it's always, how do we say that? We just say the single saints, the single ones? Or do we say the saints who are not married yet? I don't know which one you prefer. I feel like with some, when you say single, that's a stigma. Ah, don't call me a single sister. But maybe that changes as you get a little older, because maybe in the 20s, 23, 24, that doesn't. Ah, but then when you get 29 or 32 or something, maybe, yeah. And the reason is this. Well, no, let me not say that yet. I don't recall the exact year. I don't know if Brother Sam is here, if he would remember. We had this kind of conference, and then we flipped it. We had a kind of special fellowship in the afternoon and the message at nighttime. And in two successive times, the first one was a fellowship for the married saints. I think we did that first, or did we do the single ones later? Anyway, it was back to back. If anybody has any recollection or notes, I'd like to pinpoint the year that we did that. But it was in back-to-back retreats like this. And so we did it, we said it this way: we'd like to meet with all the single saints, but we'd like to invite all the married saints to join the special fellowship, because we'd like you to hear what we tell the single saints, because it was nine points on how to have a blessed courtship. Yeah, I'm not sharing that tonight. Yeah, I'm not talking about that tonight. Nine points, I think it was nine points on how to carry out a courtship as a believer in the church life and be blessed. And then we want the married saints to hear this, because many of the single ones go to the married ones for fellowship, and we want to make sure you're giving the right fellowship. Yeah. We want to walk in the same, right, what is it? The same spirit and the same steps. And so, because at least you may have points, but I hope they're all Bible-based. All ours are. And sometimes saints share from their experience. And it's not broad enough. And so your experience doesn't match the experience that this young sister is going through. So it may not apply. And as an older one, you should have the discernment what to say. It's not one size fits all. So we have to know who we're sharing with. We have to know the Bible. We have to know their condition, and then discern how much of our testimony to share. It could be with some, we don't share anything of our testimony. We share others' testimonies because their experience fits other saints that we know. So you have to have discernment. You don't want to unintentionally discourage the person you're trying to shepherd. And that happens. That happens with not because of lack of love, not because of lack of purity, but because of lack of wisdom. And we need more wisdom. Then the following time, or the time before, we had another fellowship. I think it was this fellowship first. And then the following time, retreat, like a spring and like a fall and a springtime, we had fellowship for the married saints. And we invited all the single saints to come and listen so that you could know what's coming. Yeah. So then we talked about phrased it overall, but we wanted to bring out loopholes that the enemy uses to stumble marriages. And we want you to be aware of some of the things so that you could avoid that. But anyway, I think all those are recorded and they're somewhere. I don't know where they are, but they are somewhere. And I'm not repeating that because it's not for the married saints tonight. It's for the other group. I would say more than any other age category among us in the church life, I've heard more single brothers and sisters say to me, or not in these words, but express this, they don't know where they fit in the church life. They don't know where they fit. They haven't found their niche in the church life. The children do. Children have their niche. The young people do. Young people have a lot of attention to the young people. College saints in many places do, but that depends. Sometimes even college saints don't find their niche. But then that kind of goes into the next category of someone not married and going on in the Christian community that you're in. With us, it's the church life. Once you get married, it's not that you leave all your single friends. It's not like that. But it changes life. It changes your sphere of contact, even in the church life. And of course, especially at the beginning, a number of you are still in the very, even you have children, you're still in the very early stages of your marriage, and you're still building your marriage, and you need to build up your marriage, and there's no manual. There's no manual. And so we're all learning this. This is part of this. Apply. But also patterns. I remember even since my teenage years, I was observing, growing up and observing, and who I wanted to pattern my future family after. I saw some families, especially one family, and then later another family. These two families, I thought, that's my goal. That's what I want. I don't care about money. I don't care about having a big house. I don't care about a fancy car. I want that. What was that? This brother and sister serving so much, but so one and so loving, and their kids, it was such a fun family. Yet, especially in one family, these are two different families, especially in one family, I saw two different stages of life. With one, it was when they were very young, like infants, toddlers, elementary school. With the other family, I saw high school, college, and young adulthood. And with the younger family, what I saw was discipline and love. I'd never seen that like that. How they disciplined their children. It was such a strict family. But it was such a loving family. I just couldn't believe it. And all the saints liked being at their house. All the saints. After the meetings, we had after meetings. Like, we'd all end up. It was such a pleasant atmosphere to be with. I just decided, this is what I want. This is what I want. And through the years, I've kept the connection with this family. Now, all those children, I used to babysit some of those kids. I used to babysit them. Now, they all have children, and a couple of them have grandchildren. But the faith and the love was passed on to all the grandchildren. I went to a funeral in that family. And one member of the family passed away very early. And I was there. They asked me to come to speak. That wasn't so easy. And but I don't remember what I spoke, but I remember what the grandchildren spoke about their auntie. And it was beautiful. How 13 out of 16 nephews and nieces talking about their auntie. And you realize, I was like, oh Lord, what I saw as a teenager in the 1970s has been passed on. That's what I want. I think actually all of us want that. Actually, not all of us. I think every human being wants that. A home full of love. Yet this family, so disciplined, they didn't let their children get away with anything. But you know, I mean, I saw discipline. I grew up with discipline, and I'd seen, you know, my family discipline. They didn't discipline like this. This was with the love of Christ, and that became a pattern. So, as young people, as single saints, oh, I tell you, you're blessed. Learn from the patterns. Follow the patterns. Follow the patterns. Now, I would like to give you, well, yeah, no, let's go to the outline. I'd like to present something, but based on point C in the outline, we're just going to read C and 1, because it applies here. Okay? Huh? And so, yes, Roman numeral 2. Now we're on the contender, the athlete. Let's read C. We must run the Christian race as contenders, athletes, until we finish our course, fully accomplishing our ministry in the meeting ministry of God's economy, so that we may receive Christ as our prize. And then 1.
We must subdue our body and make it a conquered athlete. Serve us as a slave, for fulfilling our holy purpose, not by our own effort, but by the Spirit.
The thing I want to talk about here is a practical consecration that has in it accountability. That is not living a loose life. You know, when you're on your own, even you might be in the brother's house and you might have roommates, but you're pretty free. And my point is, be careful not to abuse your freedom in Christ. Here it talks about the athlete. The athlete must contend lawfully. That means, you know, if you're doing a race, they have the lines. You stay in your lane. You don't disqualify yourself. And you know, Paul to Timothy, I think it's very significant. I look at this verse, that the verses we pray read, very differently now than I did when I was a teenager. You know this one. In almost every conference, we would have 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lust. And you probably heard, many of you heard messages on these, you know, since you were in junior high school. But now, realizing this is Paul's last book, last writing, last communication with Timothy. We don't know, even though he said, Timothy, come to me. We don't know if Timothy tried and made it. Maybe he tried, but he didn't make it in time. And this is his trusted coworker, his son, his child in the Lord. And yet he gives this faithful word. He's a coworker now, you know? He's a coworker. But now he still says, Timothy, flee youthful lust. Amen. It's not like, Timothy, you've outgrown that stage, so I don't have to tell you anymore. And I'd like to tell all of us tonight, you haven't outgrown that stage. Amen. That a warning like this would not benefit you. Flee youthful lust. Keep yourself. Keep yourself. And here in the outline, it says we have to subdue our body and make it a conquered captive to serve us as a slave for fulfilling God's holy purpose. That's from 1 Corinthians 9. Paul says that I buffet my body and make it my slave. Now we shouldn't get to that. That's not talking about asceticism. You know, there's such a teaching where you try to whip the lust out of you. That doesn't work. It's through the cross and by the Spirit.
Amen.
Through the cross. And then Romans says, right, put to death, right, the practices of the body. You will live. Right. So I just like to say this. You might feel, where is this coming from? I don't know. I just got burdened. Yesterday, the brother said, do you have a burden? I said, I don't know. Let me pray. I prayed. And I just had the strong feeling. Just tell them 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lust.
Amen.
And I'm going to repeat to you what I told the elders last week. We had, I don't know how many people we had there. Do you have any idea how many in the meeting? 1,000-something
yeah.
Brothers. And I gave this same message to them. Not in the same way. But I told them this, and I want to tell you this. Never, never, even the married saints, never be loose. Never make excuses for yourself. And never consider yourself an exception. You'll be safe. You'll be safe. To not put yourself in situations where the temptation, it says having a forethought. We should take forethought in the things that are honorable before God and man. We should take forethought. Don't put ourselves in situations that will make provision for the flesh. That's another verse. Do not make provision for the flesh. Because as a single saint, especially if you're living alone or you have your own room, a lot of things could go on. Nobody will ever know. But you cannot escape the 7 spirits of God, who are the 7 eyes of the Lamb, going to and fro on the whole earth. He knows and he sees. So, dear saints, let us guard ourselves. All of us. This is not just, you know, this is let us guard ourselves. We do this with those.
Amen.
Actually, the strong burden I got when I considered last night I was praying, should I take the time, is actually this. With those. I hope all of us have a those. With those. Did you see from this afternoon, Timothy? He not only had Paul, he had Luke, he had Silas. We didn't mention him in here, but we mentioned him in the message. And he had Titus, and he had Mark. It's so good to be with those. Amen. With those. We all need a those. Another possibility as someone who is on their own for now is to be isolated. To be isolated from the saints and from the church life. And so we all know, even in the physical realm, this kind of picture of a flock. You know, the animals, like the wolves, they usually will go for the strays, the ones that linger behind, that linger behind. And it's very possible that maybe work is just tiring. And you feel, I need a break. And you take that break. But in that break, a situation presents itself, some temptation. And you're caught off guard. You're just caught off guard. Then you feel condemned. So then you just stay away more. Yes, you'll still come. You'll still serve, maybe on the Lord's Day. You'll serve still the children. Then to them, you can still play. You can still do. But at the church meeting, not so happy. You avoid because light is there. You don't want to admit it. And then you stay away 3 weeks like this. It's very possible. Oh, the enemy could just 2-3 weeks away from those. With those things, we may not appreciate the sanctification of the church meeting. Amen. The power and supply of just being in the meeting. So I'd like to encourage all of us, drag yourself to the church meeting. Amen. Even when you feel down, low, this or that. Now, praise the Lord, most of the time we're like, when's the next meeting? That's great. That's great. I'm talking about the other times. I'm talking about, because I think we've all faced that. I remember I was working in this accounting firm, and this to me, this was many tests with the wins and the, yeah. And I'm an accountant, we were auditing this big firm downtown Manhattan, and our hours were basically 9 to 7. Became 9 to 9, became 9 to 12, became 9 to 2 for a period of time. It could be for a month, 6 weeks, like this. You don't see anyone except them. Even the family, you're like, hi, remember me? Yeah, okay, I'll call you later, bye. And it's then the next morning, you're just back. Okay, wow, they send you home in a car, you know, taxi, a limo or something. Who cares at 2 a.m.? You're exhausted. Yes, they give you money for dinner. What is that? So Fridays, though, we had this habit. Friday, we stop at 5. And then they would go to the bar. Hey, you know, and it's not like, come to the world with us. It's not like that. We like each other. Actually, that job, that experience I'm talking about, we loved each other in that team. I loved working with these people. I loved working with these people. But I would tell them, oh, sorry, you know, I have an appointment. Again? It's the Friday night meeting, you know. I have an appointment. And eventually it's always the church meeting, and yeah, I'm not doing that. So I would go. But I remember it was December. I was walking. I know exactly where I was, downtown. And I was walking to the subway. I started thinking about the meeting. It's the second time in my life, only the second time in my life, that I thought, I don't want to go to this meeting. I don't want to see these people. I just don't want to see these people tonight. Something. And then I stopped. I remember. What is wrong with you? Like, to myself. What happened to you? By now I'm what? Maybe 23? Married? You know? But I'm thinking, you know, I had some experience with the Lord, but just being with, and I love them. It was not like, you know, they were tempting or whatever. But just being with them changed my taste for the things of the Lord. And I didn't realize it. I deliberated with the Lord for a little while. I went for a walk before going. I had to like readjust my inner being and remind myself who I am and why I'm, why even I have this job. So I went to the church meeting. I don't remember how, and it's not like, oh, and I so enjoyed the meeting. No, it wasn't that. It was just that I caught myself. Associations matter. Who you spend your time with matters. Be with those. Yes, I'm not saying be a hermit and, you know, monks and nuns and just the church people. Yeah, we have associations, friends, relatives, neighbors. Oh, we contact them. But be careful. You know, there's ministry from Leviticus 11. The contacting, who you contact. The restrictions on the which animals are clean, which animals are unclean. You know, and that's talking about contacting people. If you want more, go there. And see how that fits your environment today. You may have heard that message 5 years ago. You're not where you are today. It means something different today. I'd like to read to you these few verses in 1 Corinthians. Three of them are like sister verses. And then it's a 3+1. You may have heard a little fellowship on this before. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me, to me. All things are lawful to me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. I'll read again. All things are lawful to me. Like, is there a rule against it? No. Is there a verse that says don't do that? No. Should I do it? I can. But, first principle, not all things are profitable. We have to consider, the thing itself, is it profitable? Is it profitable? Should I invest my time doing this? It could be a hobby. It could be a little entertainment on the side. It could be. Just, you need a refreshment in your inner being. We're not reading the Bible all the time. But is it profitable? And you just decide. There's no yes or no for, you know, there's no answer anywhere. You answer with the Lord. The second thing. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. That's different. Some things. Just even games. Just a game. It's just a game. And I can't not do it. And then substances. Smoking weed, other things. Yes. All now, this wasn't in this category before.
Yeah, right.
The last time I gave this message, this was not in the category. But now, in certain places, even right, marijuana is legal. I don't know how the brothers deal with this. And drinking, Only you know. Only you know. I have seen. I have seen. Oh, too much being brought under the power. Especially alcohol. Yeah, both the substances, but I've seen firsthand the effects of alcohol in my family and in brothers. I've seen it. They thought they were an exception. They thought they were an exception. And they probably gave the same message that I do. But 10:23, 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful to me, but not all things... Sorry, that's the, I read that, right? Is that the verse I gave you before? Yes, yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I wanted to go... Yeah, 6:12 is what I wanted to read. Oh, did I read 12? Sorry. So I wanted to go back to what?
10:23.
Yeah. Sorry. 10:23. The second part. All things are lawful to me, but not all things build up. So this might be lawful for you. Well, okay, let me give you a scenario. Maybe... after work, your friends, like mine, hey, come, let's go for a few drinks. And you go there, and actually you get a soft drink, but you're with them. And everybody's, you know, there having a good time. And you sit at the window sit at a table by the window. And right there, two of the college students walk by. And they see everybody, you know. There's a thought. That doesn't build them up. That's a, oh, I didn't know Brother Juan. You know. You know that just that could give someone boldness to just take off the brakes. And just because so-and-so did it, not all things build up. Now, it doesn't mean you live two people, like be a hypocrite. But it does mean you have your freedom, but you should also have body consciousness. And know what affects the brothers and sisters. What affects the young ones? What could stumble someone? And then for their sake, you live a stricter life. The last one is chapter 10, verse 31. The last of the four verses. This is the one. It's 3 + 1. All the other three start. All things are lawful to me, but something, something. That's the first three. Now, 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That should be our kind of underlying principle. Of an underlying principle. You're going to go on vacation? Even do that to the glory of God. Even where you choose to go. I know, people like to travel. People think I like to travel. I hate to travel. I travel, but I hate traveling. I like being with the saints wherever I get to, but it ain't like whatever. It just ain't what it all is. Okay? But people like to travel. Go here, there, post pictures, this, that. Even that. That's not to the glory of God. That's to your glory. even a kind of boast. I would say be careful. We live in the body. You have your freedom, actually. You have your freedom. You can do whatever you want. But if you want to serve and be a soldier in this army, then you have to be a contender too, who serves lawfully. Those pictures that people post, some of them are very neutral. Others sow seeds in other people. And you may never know that that seed was sown by you. Be body conscious. Be body conscious. But I'm going to keep my word. I want to leave you with this. Again, my main burden, especially for all the single saints. Have a with those. Have a those. And I don't mean just one buddy, like your spiritual companion, quote unquote. I mean, who are your spiritual parents? Everyone should have spiritual parents. A spiritual mom and a spiritual dad. And then have your other companions. Maybe not your spiritual parents, but your spiritual big brother and spiritual big sister. And then younger ones that you're shepherding. We've mentioned this in other contexts. we found these surveys that were done, finding out why do some young adults, this was a survey of young adults, why do young adults stay with the Christian congregation they grew up in and others leave? And there were many factors, very interesting. A few years ago we found this. And two different surveys mentioned this, that one big reason people stayed in their, you understand, like they grew up in that so-called church, the Christian community, and then they stayed connected to that into their 20s. Why? One big reason, they established at least five intergenerational relationships, not including their parents or their youth workers, which in our case would be young people serving ones, or college serving ones, or full-timers. Somebody else in the church. When you have five connections like that, you are in the church life. Amen. That will save you. That will save you maybe more than anything. I hope you're all blessed with that already. If not, I hope you pray for that. Lord, yes. Lord, I can think of two, but I want five. Give me five. Give me at least five. And I just believe so much blessing could come. That's part of with those. Amen. Okay. I'll stop here, brothers.